appreciate the Lord's faithfulness and goodness to us. I'd like to look at some of the prophecies this morning. One place they mentioned to Jesus, the Pharisees, they said, "You testify of yourself, your witness isn't true." After looking at all these other scriptures, I thought, there's a lot of testimony that wasn't just from Christ's words and lips. There's a lot. And I'm not going to get all the prophecies of Christ, but I want to mainly share the ones concerning His suffering and His resurrection. So I'd like to first of all mention, and I didn't look this up, but there's a scripture given to Adam and Eve after they had sinned, that there would be the seed of the woman that would bruise Satan's head, and Satan would bruise his heel. And what I understand that to be is that Jesus devastated Satan's kingdom. You know, a blow to the head is a lot worse than a blow to the heel. Satan has been a conquered foe, and he can only do what we allow him to do. He's been conquered, he's been defeated, and the Lord, that was one of the first prophecies concerning Christ, and that goes back thousands of years before Christ came. Another thing was given was the Passover. The Passover lamb, when God was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, He told them to offer a lamb. And they were to put the blood on the post, the side post, and the head part, which gives us a picture of the cross. When they sacrificed lambs, when they brought their lambs to the priest, the offender was to lay his hand on the head of the lamb as the priest sacrificed the lamb. And that was a representation that this lamb is dying in place of my sin, my transgression. Sin brings death. And this lamb is dying because I have offended, I've sinned, I've violated. And so in the New Testament we have record when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So we recognize that Christ was God's Lamb. Now Peter, in one place, and bear with me, I've got a bunch of scriptures, but I didn't write them all down. Peter, in one place, he said, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin." God accepted that sacrifice back under the Old Testament. But there's another scripture that said that Christ died for all men, and that includes the sins that were under the Old Testament. Their sins were rolled forward to the cross of Christ, like our sins are rolled back to the cross of Christ. So Jesus died for the sins of all mankind. I want to get a parallel now between David and recognize David. Jesus also called the son of David. We recognize that David was king of Israel. I want to go to 2 Samuel. And all of these different scriptures I'm bringing up, they're pictures to help us to see what the Lord has done. 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. This is when David was running from Absalom. In verse 30, it said, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. So here David is running from the enemy, but he is a type of Christ. So he goes up through the Mount of Olives, the same place where Christ was arrested, the Mount of Olives, weeping and mourn and shame. Now David was doing this because of his own sin, but Jesus did it because of our sin. I want to notice another similarity here. In verse 31, it said, "One told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." Ahithophel was a counselor to David. He was one that was close to David. He was a friend of David's. But he betrayed David. Now, dropping on down to verse 17, Chapter 17, verse 23, it said, "When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got into his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." So we see that David was betrayed, the type of Christ. He was betrayed by a close friend, just like Jesus was betrayed by Judas, a close friend, one of the 12. And Judas also, when he saw that Jesus was going to be crucified, he went back, and we'll read a little bit more about that here. But there's so many similarities between David and Christ, and we see here this also in the life of Christ. The counterpart to that is Matthew 27:3, and it's where Judas betrayed and hung himself. Matthew 27:3. Now I want to notice Scripture in Psalms, the 22nd chapter. David lived approximately 700 years before Christ. So this is 700 years, the thing that he was written. I want to mention this. I read on the computer when I was studying this, those that do calculations for statistics and things like that, with all of these prophecies given in Christ, the chances of somebody meeting all those was 10 times 10 to the 17th power. Now only Brother Gary can tell us what that means. With all of these scriptures, all these prophecies, it just wasn't by chance. That's somebody that figured the prophecies and the statistics, the possibilities were 10 times 10 to the 17th power. You know, I didn't even try to read that number. It had a lot of zeros behind it. But I think about, you know, when Adam and Eve transgressed in the garden, it said the way of the tree of life was closed. God put two cherubims there to guard the way of the tree of life. And Jesus mentioned, he said, "All that came before me were thieves and robbers, and the sheep didn't hear them." But he made comment, he said, "He that cometh in by the door of the sheep," he said, "to him the porter openeth." It's like when the Lord fulfilled the scripture, he was the one. He fulfilled all the requirements. He fulfilled all the things that were spoken concerning him. And it's like the porter opened. It's like the way of the tree of life was made accessible to us again. That we could have life, have eternal life. I wanted to mention another scripture. Well, let's go to Psalms 22 and verse 1. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That sounds familiar. That was Jesus' words on the cross. From Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, we realize it says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus wasn't dying for his own sin, but the Lord laid on him our transgressions, our iniquities. You know, Jesus died like a sinner. He was rejected. God turned his back. God turned his head. He died like a sinner, like someone not having any hope. He bore our sins. All the weight, the world's weight of sin was laid upon him. Revelations also brings out that there was no one able to unloose the seals of the book according to the plan of salvation, in other words. And John said, I wept bitterly because there was no one can do it. No one could meet those requirements. No one had the ability. And the scripture brings it out to us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, somewhere from birth to in our growing up, in our life, somewhere or another, every one of us have sinned. We couldn't have died. We couldn't have made that sacrifice because we were polluted. It took a spotless lamb. It took a spotless Savior. One without sin. One without guile. And I think about how Satan came so vehemently against Christ with his... They spit upon him. They beat him. But he made a show of them openly. They didn't triumph over him. They didn't conquer him. They didn't cause him to fail. They didn't cause him to get bitter. They didn't cause him to sin. Or else the sacrifice wouldn't have been sufficient. In verse 6, Psalms 22, he says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Here when he was on the cross, they were wagging their heads, shaking their heads, ridiculing. You know, you trust in God. Look at where you're at now. But he said he could have called 12 legions of angels. You know, that would have been a temptation. That would have been a strong temptation. In the midst of his suffering, and here they are, as you show yourself, he could have called 12 legions of angels and wiped out the whole thing. We wouldn't have had a Savior. We wouldn't have been able to be saved. Verse 11, Psalms 22. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. There's so many scriptures here. Casting lots on the vesture, piercing my hands and my feet. This was approximately 700 years before Christ came and gave His life for us. Let's see, Psalms, there's another one. Let's go to Jonah 1:17. No, let's skip that one. Matthew 12:39-40. I'm going to do the fulfillment scripture on that one. Matthew 12:39-40. 38 with it. Said, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, and that's what gets me. All these scriptures are testimony and pointing to Christ. And they want a sign. He answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. They took Jesus Thursday night to Caiaphas' hall. Caiaphas was the high priest. Friday morning, they took him to Pilate, and they put him on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. And by 3 o'clock, he died. He gave up the ghost about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he died Friday. He was dead Friday. Saturday was the Sabbath day. And Sunday morning, he arose. Just like he said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Like to get Isaiah 50. Isaiah the 50th chapter, verse 5 and 6. Says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. We know they whipped Jesus severely with the whip and the crown of thorns they placed. They spit upon him. He said, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He took everything that they had to deal out to him. I want to go also, since we're here in Isaiah the 53rd chapter. In the third verse it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, the Lord provided spiritual healing, physical healing. Said, by his stripes we are healed. And that's quoted in the New Testament. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, to the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. I wrote a little deal, and I read a little thing it mentioned, and it was actually Pilate talking to someone else, and he made comment. He said, the priest used the bloody dagger of Rome to accomplish their work. The priest used Rome. Pilate actually felt trapped. He felt trapped between. He didn't want Christ to be crucified. He recognized he was innocent, but he was trapped, and he gave in. Let's see, another scripture I wanted to get was Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So here's a prophecy concerning his entry into Jerusalem. And that was fulfilled Matthew 21 and 5. David was a mighty warrior, a mighty conqueror in being able to subdue all the enemy around him. Israel became pretty much a world power. They subdued all their enemies. David, the height of their kingdom. But Jesus was the same on a different stage. He subdued sin. He subdued evil. He overcame. He was conquered. And I know to the world it looked like shame, it looked like defeat, it looked like loss, but the scripture said he led captivity captive. In other words, sin that had bound us for so long, He conquered. He fulfilled all the prophecies of Scripture. He overcame. And through his blood, we have salvation and redemption today. And it's important for us to come to that point in life too, where we don't put our hand on the physical lamb, but we acknowledge our sins and we repent. And we ask God and we believe in him and trust in him for cleansing from our sin. Zechariah also 11 and 12. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was praised at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. We realize that was filled with Judas that sold, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, but when he went back, he threw them in the temple. He cast it, and that's what this is saying. I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And that's what they bought. I believe they called it the potter's field, the field of blood. It was purchased with the price of blood. Zechariah 13 and verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. That's pretty touching to me. What I was wounded in the house of my friends. He came to the Jewish people. He came right to them, but he told many times, he gave parables, talked about the vineyard and how they would cast him out of the vineyard and try to lay hold of the vineyard. But he was wounded in the house of his friends. Also, verse 7, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. So, I believe Jesus mentions this, but when they came to get him, there wasn't anybody able to stand up with him. Peter tried to, he cut off the high priest's servant ear. He had, his own human strength he tried to stand up in, but he couldn't do it. And Jesus told him that he would betray him, and he did. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. But it was foretold that he would be alone. In one place, there's another scripture. Not sure if I have that one down, but it said that he would tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. There wasn't none. I know in my trials sometimes it's comforting to hear a good word or, I got a text this morning. Someone texted me and said, thank you and for helping me and being there for me when I was in trouble. And I don't know who it is. I don't know their number. I didn't show up on my phone, but it just came this morning. Those things are real, they help us. They're comforting to us. That Jesus stood alone. He faced Pilate. He faced the Romans. He faced the Jewish people. All the wickedness. Caiaphas had people planted in place, just like they do nowadays when they have demonstrations. Caiaphas had people planted all over the place to call for blood and to crucify. The bulls were there, the dogs, wicked, surrounded, enveloped. One place he talked about, when we feel like we're faint, he said, consider Jesus that withstood such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in mind. I feel challenged, Lord, help us. And, I have a good wife, and I've got you all. Jesus stood alone. The winepress of the wrath of God is judgment and justice being meted out for sin. And the one scripture I didn't read, but it said he came with garments dyed. I think that might have been Zechariah also. But he said his garments were sprinkled and dyed with blood. Just like the people that tramped down the grapes, how they get splattered and that kind of thing. Jesus did that for the wrath of God. He appeased the wrath of God that was against sin and against unrighteousness. He appeased it. And I thank God for that this morning. We're very indebted to a Savior that was willing to give His life for us, to give Himself for us. I want to also turn to Psalms 16 and 10. Psalm 16 and 10. Let's read verse 8 with it. It said, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. That's a promise of His resurrection. And we know that when they went to the tomb that morning and said the angel of the Lord descended, and that stone rolled away, the Lord came out of there with a new body. We know He had the scars in His hand, because He told Thomas, He said, reach hither and touch me, it's me. You can see the scars. But He had a new body. He could appear and disappear. On the road to Emmaus, He walked with two men that were troubled and confused and in wonderment. And it said from Moses, I'm not sure if it was Moses, but anyway, he said he showed them the scriptures, how Christ would suffer and die. And then pretty soon their eyes were opened, but they were able to see Him. Don't you know that was a wonderful time? You know, after being, and I feel like we probably would have been the same way, to see Jesus physically, literally hanging on the cross, somebody that you've been with 3.5 years. I think our hope would have been dashed also. I think we would have been sorrowing and troubled and perplexed and confused. Jesus was very patient with me. Tell Peter to come. And Peter denied Him. I'm thankful for the hope that we have today. Because He arose. Because He came and died. He resurrected. He lived. Psalm 68:19. Thou hast descended on high. Thou hast led captivity captives. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. Isn't that wonderful? We were all one time rebellious. And I tell you what, there's been times I've been rebellious in my Christian life too. There's been times that I didn't want to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And it took me a while to get there. But he said, thou hast received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also. Have you rebelled in your life? Have you rebelled against God? You know, sometimes we just feel like it's people, but when we rebel, we rebel against God. For the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. One more scripture in closing, Revelation, the first chapter. In the fifth verse, Revelation 1, verse 5, it says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You know, the Lord's going to come back. And it says, in clouds. When he ascended, it says the clouds caught him up in his sight, and the angel said, like he ascended, he's going to descend. He's going to come. There's going to be some clouds. I don't know if it's going to be a bright, shining day like it is, and the clouds come with him. I don't know how that's going to work. But there's going to be some clouds. He's going to come in the clouds. I remember a dream, and I shared it before, a dream that the Lord was coming back. But that's what I remember about the dream so much, was the clouds. The Lord is coming in the clouds. It said, all the kindreds of the earth shall wail. Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. No pilots will be there. Pilots, Herod, all the Pharisees and Sadducees that they're all going to be there on that great final day. There's going to be a resurrection. It said, also they which pierced him, they're going to see him. I'm so thankful today that you and I have an opportunity to have our sins forgiven. To go ahead of us. That when that time, and it was mentioned, I think Brother Gavin may have mentioned it, he said, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? I have been by the bedside of several that have left this world. And the sting of sin is gone. They had a peace in their hearts. They had a looking forward to. And the Lord has done that. We don't have to. One song says, not an evil foreboding, not a doubt in my soul, not a sin that's corroding. I am whole, I am whole. It's sin that causes us to not have that confidence. And Jesus paid the price. Not that we can just live in our sin, he paid the price that we can live above and be victorious over sin. we can meet Him with a clear conscience. We can meet Him with testimony. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Kept the faith. I'm thankful He's coming to me. You know, the more I see of this world, all these troubles, heartaches, disappointments, I'm glad there's something better. And He told him that in John, He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. I don't really know how it will all be. I hope we'll be able to fly. I'd like to be able to fly. But there's going to be a reunion of all those that have gone before us that have died in Christ. There's going to be a reunion on these days. Let's continue to press on. You know, sometimes our feet may get a little weary and burdens get a little heavy. Just take little steps. Keep pressing on. When you don't feel like it, just take a little step. Because we're going somewhere. This world is not our home. Thank you for your attention.